Welcome back, Jeep Divers. Today we're heading into some uncharted territory with Damian Ward's Different Jungles.
Oh yeah, Different Jungles.
It's a novel that takes us deep into a rainforest.
Aww.
Where animals aren't just, you know, cute, cuddly creatures.
Right.
They're like cunning dons vying for power and control and information.
It's a fascinating look at power dynamics, really. And how even in this seemingly untouched world, human actions have a huge impact.
Yeah, and the story kicks off with Sai, this white rat. Mm. And he's basically thrust into the rainforest. Someone paid for his release.
I know, right?
Like they paid.
Like who does that?
To have him released into the rainforest knowing he'd probably die.
Yeah, knowing he doesn't have the skills to survive. Talk about good intentions gone wrong.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a good intention, but like, did they really think that through?
It makes you think about the consequences of our actions, you know?
Absolutely.
Even with the best intentions, sometimes we just make things worse.
Yeah, and the way Ward describes the rainforest, it's so vivid.
Oh, the sensory details are incredible.
You could practically feel the humidity, the stench of decay.
Yeah, the cacophony of sounds.
Hear all the creatures. It's like you're right there with Sai as he's getting more and more terrified.
You really feel his fear, his naivety. He's this pampered pet suddenly thrown into this brutal world.
Yeah, and that's how he meets Domino, the monkey. Domino sort of takes him under his wing.
Domino becomes his unlikely protector.
Yeah.
And through Domino, we get introduced to the sit-down, this gathering of all the animal dons, each one controlling their own territory in the rainforest.
Like a jungle mafia, like each don has their own turf.
Exactly.
And the big reveal that Don Carlo, the sloth, is the most powerful figure. Like, come on, a sloth.
That was a twist I didn't see coming.
I know. But it makes sense when you think about it.
It does.
Because Carlo's power lies in his control of information.
He's got eyes and ears everywhere. Ward even writes, Carlo knew every whisper on the wind, every rustle in the leaves.
Yeah, like he's got this intricate network of creatures gathering intel for him.
Making him a master strategist.
So it's not brute force. But knowing what's happening before anyone else, that's Carlo's strength.
Knowledge is power, right?
Yeah, but as you can imagine, with great power comes, well, challengers.
Of course.
Luca Crocodilli wants Carlo's influence for himself.
Luca is driven by greed, pure and simple. He's exploiting the rainforest for gold.
Using slave labor, too.
It's a dark reflection of human behavior, isn't it?
Yeah, like how corporations put profit before the environment. Like those illegal mining operations or deforestation for palm oil.
It's happening in our world right now.
It is. And then there's that attempt on Carlo's life. Scorpion, the assassin.
Oh, that scene was so tense.
I was on the edge of my seat. But Carlo manages to escape.
It shows how cunning he is.
He's not just slow and vulnerable. He's actually very clever.
He uses his knowledge of the environment to outsmart Scorpion. It's brilliant.
It makes you think that Carlo always has a plan.
Maybe he does. But we also have this other story unfolding alongside the rainforest drama. The moon rats.
Yeah, the genetically modified rats with their leader, Caleb.
And Caleb's plan to unleash the bubonic plague.
To unleash the bubonic plague. It's insane.
Extreme. But he believes it's the only way for Moon to survive in a world dominated by humans.
But at what cost?
It raises a lot of ethical questions. It makes you think about the lengths we go to for survival, you know, and the potential consequences.
Like he's become the very thing he's afraid of.
Yeah. And then there's Athena. The rat goddess.
Reluctant rat goddess, yes.
She's caught between the reverence of ordinary rats and her own internal struggle with being a goddess. She doesn't want the role, but she understands what she represents.
That's got to be a heavy burden.
Yeah.
We've got all this going on in the rainforest society with its dons and assassins, and then these super intelligent rats planning something that could devastate the world. And where do we even see humans in all of this?
We see glimpses of the human world through parallel narratives, like Frankie the cat investigating the death of a canary.
Yeah, Frankie.
It seems like a minor crime, but it pulls him into a whole other jungle of secrets and conspiracies.
Like the human world is a jungle too, right?
Exactly. And through Frankie, we get introduced to the Big Meow. The Big Meow. It's this information network among the city's cats, rumors, gossip, all that. It mirrors how information spreads through human society as well.
Uh-huh.
So even seemingly mundane events can be connected to something much bigger.
And Frankie's investigation leads him to Louis, A black rat.
Who's running from Marcus, the king of the brown rats. It's a brutal world out there.
Yeah, much different from the rainforest, where at least sometimes they try to cooperate.
Louis' plight highlights how survival in the city often depends on cunning and strength. It's a tough reality.
Yeah, and then you've got Schaefer.
The police dog.
Yeah.
The police dog. He's partnered with this lazy human, and he's constantly struggling with, you know, doing his duty versus trusting his gut.
Like he's caught between two worlds.
It's like that for a lot of us, right?
Following orders versus trusting our instincts. We've all been there.
So we've got all these different storylines happening.
Mm.
The rainforest, the moon rats, Frankie the cat, Schaefer the dog. How does Ward tie it all together?
That's what we'll uncover as we go deeper into different jungles. Stay tuned to see how these threads start to intertwine and how the characters are forced to make some tough choices.
Sounds intense. Can't wait to see what happens next.
It's going to be a wild ride.
Feels like we're watching a pot about to boil over. You know, we've got all these different factions, the rainforest dons, the moon rats, even those city dwellers. They're all on a collision course.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Ward does an amazing job with this. He builds the suspense so well by letting us see everything from these different perspectives.
Yeah.
Each character is like a piece of a puzzle, but they don't see the whole picture, right?
Right.
Makes you, as the reader, like lean in and try to figure out how it all fits together.
Yeah. And that tension just keeps building and building as we get closer to that moon convocation. That's where Caleb puts his plight plan to a vote.
Oh, yeah. That's a turning point for sure. I mean, for the moon rats, but also for Sai.
Yeah, he's caught right in the middle.
Definitely. He's horrified by Caleb's plan, but his vote actually matters.
Right.
Like, if he doesn't vote, the plan automatically goes through.
Wow. So what's he supposed to do?
I know, right? Ward writes, Sai felt the weight of 1,000 lives on his small shoulders.
That's intense.
Talk about pressure.
It makes you think, what would you do in that situation? Go against what you believe in just to maybe save your own group? Or stand up for what's right, even if it means, you know, disaster.
It's a question that really makes you examine your own values.
For sure. And it's in this moment of crisis that Athena, you know, the rat goddess, she steps up. She challenges Caleb, points out how devastating his plan would be, and not just for the brown rats.
Right. Just the voice of reason.
But I feel like Caleb's ambition, it's blinded him.
Yeah.
He can't see past this idea of survival at any cost.
It's classic, right? Power corrupts. Even when someone starts out with good intentions, power can just twist everything.
So true. Meanwhile, back in the city, we've got Frankie and Schaefer. They're each following their own leads, but they don't realize they're heading for the same showdown.
Right. They're like two ships passing in the night, but they're actually sailing toward the same storm.
Yeah.
And their separate investigations show how connected everything in the city really is.
Uh-huh.
Frankie with the big Mao and Schaefer with his sharp senses, they're picking up these pieces of the same puzzle without realizing it.
It's all coming together.
It is.
And then, bam, the action explodes. Frankie and his alley cat buddy Sam, they end up in a full-on brawl with Marcus's rat army.
It's like something out of a movie.
Total chaos.
Yeah.
But you're rooting for Frankie and Sam, even though they're totally outmatched.
Yeah, they're fighting for what they believe in. It's like David versus Goliath, you know? It reminds you that courage can come from anywhere.
And just when it seems like they're done for, here comes Schaefer and this massive Rottweiler. Like, talk about a cavalry arrival.
Oh, it's a game changer.
Talk about a game changer. It totally shifts the balance of power.
Shows you the power of unexpected alliances.
For sure. Yeah. But even though they win the fight, the aftermath is brutal.
It is. Ward doesn't sugarcoat the violence. There's a lot of loss. Even some of the moon rats die.
And it shows just how high the stakes are in this whole conflict. It's not a game.
Definitely not. And we see that impact on Max, Marcus's enforcer. He's totally disillusioned by all the deaths.
It's like he's finally seeing things clearly.
Yeah, he realizes that violence and revenge, it just leads to more violence. It's a cycle that never ends.
And then he steps up as the new king of the black rats, right?
Yeah. He promises to end the war.
Wow. What a change.
I know. And Athena, she decides to head to India.
To Karni Mata.
To Karni Mata. That temple where rats are actually revered.
It's like she's finally free, right?
Yeah, it's symbolic. She's looking for peace, sanctuary. It shows that even amidst all this chaos and conflict, there are still places where hope exists.
I'm glad she found some peace. But just when you think things are settling down, bam!
Right. Here comes a new threat.
The ghoul.
The ghoul. And this one is terrifying.
And its target, Don Carlo.
Of course. So we're back to the rainforest where, let's be honest, things were just starting to calm down a bit.
It's like the calm before the storm, and this storm is looking like a Category 5.
Yeah, the ghoul, it's like this primal force, just pure destruction. It's different from all the other power struggles we saw earlier in the story.
And who has to try and stop this force of nature? Sai?
Poor Sai. Yeah. I mean, what chance does he have against something like that?
I know, right? He's this bookish rat up against this monster.
It's a huge challenge, and Sai knows it. So he goes to Max for advice.
Max, the new king of the black rats.
The one who knows about survival, about the harsh realities of this world.
That's such an unlikely pairing.
But sometimes necessity brings the most unexpected allies together.
Yeah. And it's amazing to see how Sai has changed since the beginning.
He's had to adapt, you know? He started out so naive, but he's had to find this inner strength to survive. It's a reminder that we all have the potential to grow when we're faced with tough situations.
It's about embracing the different parts of ourselves.
Exactly. And before Athena leaves for India, she gives Sai this crucial clue about the ghoul.
The obsession with its own excrement.
Yes. Yeah. Weird, right? But it turns out to be essential for tracking the creature.
So even the smallest details can be important.
It's a reminder to pay attention, you know, be observant, because you never know what might hold the key to solving a problem.
Okay, so Sai knows what he has to do. But he needs help, right?
Right. He needs someone on the ground who can actually lure the ghoul away from Carlo.
And that's where Dusk comes in.
Athena's crow. She's fierce, ruthless, not afraid of a little dirt.
She's a force of nature herself.
She is. But even Dusk needs help, and she chooses this unlikely partner for the mission.
Here, the rabbit she used to torment.
Yeah. I know, it's surprising.
I mean, why would she choose him?
He's a survivor. Dusk recognizes Hare's potential, you know, his resilience, how well he knows the terrain.
So she sees past their history.
She does. It shows that when there's a common enemy, even old grudges can be set aside.
And their mission takes them through this terrifying land of death.
Filled with traps and dangers, such a contrast to the lush rainforest we saw earlier.
It really symbolizes the challenges they face, both external and internal.
It's a test of their courage, their strength, their ability to work together.
And those chinchillas, the ones who live in this dangerous land, they play a crucial role too.
They sacrifice themselves to slow down the ghoul and give Carlo more time.
It's heartbreaking, but it's also beautiful, you know?
It highlights the interconnectedness of all living things.
Like, their survival depends on Carlo's survival.
And they're willing to give their lives for the greater good.
And then we meet Julian.
The French skunk.
The French skunk with the unique artistic process.
Yeah. He gets his inspiration by consuming creatures.
It's so bizarre.
I know. It's darkly humorous. It's like Ward is saying, hey, even in the midst of all this danger and darkness, there's still room for a little weirdness.
Yeah. The rainforest is full of surprises.
So many layers to this story. So Hare, Dusk, and the chinchillas, they manage to lure the ghoul into a trap. They finally defeat it. But there are casualties.
Victory comes at a price.
It does. And Carlo's safe, but now he has this message for the world, this message that could change everything. What is it, and what does it mean for everyone?
So Carlo's safe, we know that. But what about this message he has for the world? What's it all about?
Well, with Emilio's help, he carves this image into the jungle floor. A snake entwined between two stones.
Ah, yeah.
And get this, a human happens to be filming and captures the whole thing.
No way.
They know. And the video goes viral. A snake between two stones. That's the message going out to the world.
A snake between two stones.
Hmm. I mean, it's intriguing, but what does it even mean?
It's a powerful symbol, really. It represents the interconnectedness of everything. You see, the snake, that's nature. And the stones, well, they represent humanity. Oh. So it's this call for cooperation. Like, Carlo is reminding everyone that we share this planet. Our fates are intertwined, whether we like it or not.
It's a pretty powerful message coming from a sloth. So what happens next? Does Carlo's message actually make a difference?
We do see some signs of hope. Like Max, the new king of the black rats, he keeps his promise. He ends the war with the brown rats.
Really?
Yeah. He realizes that making sure there's enough for everyone, that's the key to lasting peace.
That kind of echoes Carlo's message, doesn't it? It's all about balance.
Exactly. And Athena, remember her, she finds peace at Carne Mata. She's surrounded by people who revere her, but she's not expected to be some kind of miracle worker anymore.
She can finally just be herself.
That's right. Good for her. I'm glad she found some peace. What about Sai? What happens to him?
Sai stays in the city, and he starts working with Mir.
Mir? The moon rat who's good with tech.
the one and only. They create this website called Different Jungles, inspired by Carlo's message.
So they're taking the message global. That's awesome.
We're using technology to connect people with nature, showing that even in the concrete jungle, we're all part of this bigger web of life.
That's amazing.
And Hare, remember him?
Oh, yeah. What happened to him?
He goes back to the mountains, forever changed by his experiences. He's not that timid rabbit anymore.
Yeah, he went through a lot.
He did. He's got the scars to prove it, but he also found a strength he never knew he had.
It's like he was forged in fire. So, Different Jungles, it's not just a fun adventure story. It's about so much more. It makes you think about human nature, our impact on the environment, and the surprising ways we can find common ground with others.
Yeah, Ward really challenges us to look at our own different jungles, you know? The systems we live in, the choices we make, the relationships we have.
He's asking us to really think about the consequences of our actions.
And to consider that even the smallest actions can have a huge ripple effect.
He also shows how important it is to find common ground, to work together, especially when we're facing big challenges.
Like those rainforest creatures uniting to protect Carlo.
Different Jungles is one of those stories that sticks with you long after you finish it. It makes you think, it makes you feel, and it leaves you with a sense of hope.
Hope that things can change, that we can do better.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one last question. What other different jungles exist in your own world? What can you learn from them? Think about it. Explore them. And join us next week for another deep dive. We'll be tackling a fascinating new topic. Until then, keep exploring.